Assault.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good July 15th. How can we be halfway through July already? Well, good July 15th. I remember the 4th of July. Wasn't that yesterday? Time flies. Something's happening here. We're living in crazy times. So we're going to dive into some stuff today. Like I always try to tell you, I try to go to a variety of different directions. Understanding this, there's really only two things going on. The expansion of the kingdom of God and the destruction of the kingdom of God. Everything else is connected to that. Goes back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the deep, the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And it all started. And since that very moment, whether we want to understand it or whether we can't understand it or whether we realize it or not, it has been a fight between light and dark. That's really where we are. And here we are in 2025. I'm 72 years old. John MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur passed away. He was, 80 some years old. And, you know, the Bible says that in the, maybe it's not the Bible, but somewhere it says, in the end, it's a wink of an eye, the passage of time. It's a wink of an eye. It's here and then it's gone. And I'd love at some point to do some research. I don't know if I'd be able to do it. I think I said to y'all the other day, but I think that maybe when we talk about dimensions, we've really never done much about that. Me, Christianity, dimensions, the Twilight Zone, Rod Sterling, dimensions made of sight and sound. Hey, Spencer, see if you can pull that real quick. Go to YouTube and see if you can find the Twilight Zone opening. The Twilight Zone opening. What are dimensions? What are dimensions? Dimensions of sight and sound, and is the past a dimension? Is the future? Can you really go to the future? Is it this stuff fascinates me. And for those of you who are a lot younger than me, probably never heard of the Twilight Zone, but Rod Serling did a show. It was on every, I think it was Sunday night, I could be wrong. The Twilight Zone was on NBC or ABC or whatever. And Spencer's gonna play this. It's playing right now. And think about what Rod Serling is saying in this opening to the Twilight Zone. And what's the Twilight? What's the Twilight? Well, it's that period between light and dark, right? The twilight. So here's the introduction, 32 seconds, the opening to the Twilight Zone. Go ahead, Spence. Good catch.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Wow, was he ahead of his time, Spencer? What's the date on that? Does it say it at the bottom, the date of when this thing was? Spencer will find it at some point. I mean, as a kid, I was 12 years old, 1962. Theme music, 1962. Rod Serling talking about a dimension of sight and sound. Where's Rod Serling when we need him today? I want to dive into some stuff here. It's almost kind of otherworldly, but I think you're going to enjoy it. We'll get into it here in a second. Mel's got something she wants to make us aware of. Go ahead, Mel.
All right, thank you. Sorry if there's some noise in the background. We're getting a new roof today, and they arrived.
Yeah. From the hailstones?
No. We just needed one.
All right. I got one from the hailstones. So,
So, but anyway, good morning, everybody. So, as you may or may not know, Spencer, if you would go to events, please, upcoming events. The second part of our Ecclesia Bible study on Revelations 1 through 3 is happening this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Go ahead and click on that if you would. And the Zoom link to join is right in there. So once Spencer check, there he goes. Scroll down a little bit. Then the blue link there is what you click to join. So we hope that many of you will join us. Spencer, the other thing I'd like for you to do, I'm so proud of myself, go to the media tab. And you'll see there is the recording of our first session. So if you click on that, Spencer, go ahead and click on that. It takes you to a Rumble video. And this is actually, hopefully it works.
There you are. I see
it. There we go. So if you miss the first one, then you can record. It's a little bit over an hour, like an hour and 5 minutes. So you can catch up and then join us on Thursday night at 7 o'clock for part two. Thanks, Coach.
Where do they get the Zoom link? Right at your website, Mel, is that where it is?
That's what Spencer went to first. Spencer, go back there, go to events, the events tab, and then upcoming events. You just click on the title of the event.
Folks, this would be a good place to use your phone to take a picture so you remember how to do
and
it.
And then right inside the event itself is Zoom link. Click to join. You just click on that blue link.
And then they join.
So, Rochelle and I get on at about 6:45. So anytime between that and 7 o'clock, feel free to join.
Am I allowed to come on and argue with Rochelle?
Please come on in. Everybody's welcome. All viewpoints. We would love to have you all. We had some really great discussion in the first study. So, and like I said, we're only at chapter 1, verse 9, so we're just getting started. So please come one, come all, bring all your opinions. Rochelle and I don't agree either, which makes it lots of fun. So
yeah, cool. So folks, listen, here's the match from my perspective, okay? This is the element that the local church misses, in my opinion. If you're a pastor and you're looking at me right now, sitting in your local church, are so many gifts that are not being used in every church. Each one of us. Paul said, when you come together, each one has a song, each has a prayer. It's somewhere in. Anyway, trust me, it's in there. When you go to church, are your gifts used? Even talk about your gifts. I remember going to a pastor who, this is right after I got. Went through that whole mess with the American Civil Liberties Union. I went to a pastor because I saw what was going on. He was my pastor at the time, and said, "Boy, this is going on, Pastor. We need to do what yada." I was full of zeal and probably not a lot of knowledge, but a lot of zeal, and I could have saved a lot of us a lot of headaches if he would have permitted me. Nearly 20 years ago now, well, more than that, 22 years ago now, to begin to train the people in the church to what was going to stuff what we're doing right here. Oh, no. I had to have his approval. And I want you to know that here at Coach Dave Live, you don't need my approval. Mel, if I ever stuck my nose in what you're doing, say you can't do this, can't do that. Craig, if I ever stuck my nose in and told you, no, you can do this, you can't do that. David Arthur ever stuck my nose in, say, have I ever done that?
No. Never.
Never. Never and never will. Because the call upon your life is the call upon your life. It's not upon my life. I'm here to help. I'm here to give direction. But you will never, ever get a call from me or an email from me saying, hey, stop talking about that. Ever. That'll never happen. All right. Now, I don't know what's going on in this Ecclesia Bible study with Rochelle and Mel. I don't know what's going on. I got no control of it. But I think it might be good for some of you to get in there. You with me? Because, see, the church is so opposite that. The church has for so long, I'm sorry, I know Michelle, she says you always talk about the same thing. The church leadership has for years shackled gifts, not developed gifts. The churches are full of men and women with giftings that they're going to stand before God and give an account of because they didn't use the giftings because the man in the pulpit won't permit them to. So what happens? People go start their own churches. go start another church. I don't know how I got on this, but it's good. It's really, really good. So God bless you, man. God bless you. Thinking there was something I was supposed to say. Let me get over here. Okay. Nobody got anything to amen or oh my yet about? You can if you want to, but I'd rather you didn't because I'm going to go somewhere.
Keep going.
Thanks, Chad. I was in a discussion the other day with, doesn't matter who it was, about Romans 13 and our blind obedience to government. Are Christians supposed to have blind obedience to government? Do me a favor, Spence. Pull up number two. I don't know if you guys know this. I hate it when I say that. It sounds like I'm an expert and you're not. I just do a lot of research, okay? Judah's out there. He could probably amen this. I want you to know something, folks, that there's unbelievable work going on behind the scenes that we are not aware of. Governmentally. General Flynn, yada, yada. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of. And if you don't understand that the argument, my opinion now, between Kash Patel and Dan Bongino and Pam Bond, if you don't understand that that's a distraction, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. The Epstein list, I believe all that stuff's going to come out. But here's where I want to camp this morning, okay? The First Amendment to the Constitution. By the way, Constitution of the United States. Do you know that in 1813, they changed it? Do you now know it's the Constitution for the United States, a corporation? I say, oh, Coach, don't go down that road. Okay, sit still for a minute. Now, I want you to ask, words have meaning. Okay? First Amendment to the Constitution says Congress. Time out. Let me walk you through this. What does Congress do, folks? What does Congress do? Come on, somebody, help me out. What does Congress do?
Makes laws.
So Congress, who make the laws, shall make no law. That's pretty easy, isn't it? If Gene is our baker, and the law says Gene, bakers shall make no bread, you get what that means, don't you, Gene? You understand what that means? They tell you don't make bread? You get that. So Congress, who makes our laws, shall make no law respecting religion. Now, folks, they put that word establishment of religion. But what they meant by establishment of a religion was forced government approval of a denomination. All right? Everybody has to be Baptist. Everybody has to be Lutheran. Everybody has to be Church of God. Everybody has to be Church of England. Because when they came over here, they formed that. We still got denominations, right? So they're arguing over what was going to be the main denomination. So they said, look, Congress ain't going to make any laws regarding denominationalism. We ain't going to do any of that. Christianity is clearly at the heart of it, okay? Congress shall make no law about religion, establishing a religion, saying you have to be part of the Church of England. Not going to do that anymore, where the king is also head of the church. No, ain't no more of that. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Let me ask a question. Free, what is free? Somebody help me out here. What does free exercise mean? Free exercise. If you hire a guy to come and fix your basement and you tell him, you have free exercise, brother. I want you to create me a beautiful paneled, you have free exercise. Somebody help me. What's that mean? Come on.
Do what he wants.
Do what you
want. Free exercise of religion and something else.
Well, no, sir. Take religion out of it. Free exercise.
It means that you can pray on the football field with your team, Coach.
I can pray on the football field with my team. I can pray before a city council meeting. And how about this? I could actually demand that those my elected officials follow the Ten Commandments. I could actually do that, could I not? Is that not the free exercise of my faith? I mean, stay with me here. So Congress can't make any law regarding the establishment of a religion. Good. We don't want them to make everybody Catholic. I'm with them on that. All right? I'm with it. And it's only this First Amendment that allows all the different religions in America. But only Christianity gives you the right to free exercise. You understand that, don't you? Only Christianity gives you the right to free exercise of your faith. Only Christianity. Christianity so respects the individual right that you have the right to worship whatever God you want to. You can't go to Iran and do that. You can't go to China and do that. Only in America. Because why? The Christian-based First Amendment says Congress can't do anything when it comes to religion. Can't be for it, can't be against it. Congress can't say Coach Dave can't pray before a football game. In fact, it says just the opposite. Hang on, I'm getting that in the weeds. Congress, who makes the laws, shall make no law regarding religion, period. End of story. Or prohibiting the free exercise of my religion. You get this? Or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Let me ask you something, Gene Schroeder, just because I see you right here on my screen. If the Congress, if they make a law saying that I cannot pray before a football game, is that a law?
Oh, that's a good question.
No, it's a simple one. Anything repugnant to the Constitution is null and void.
No, that's not a law. And you can do anything you want to do unless you're harming somebody.
That's exactly, dude, we get it, right? So they said Congress shall make no law. So if I get before a football game and I want to pray, can all these players choose to pray or not pray? They said, well, Coach, you can't do that because it'll be coercive. If the kids don't pray, you're not going to play them. Well, then you ought to get, if you have a football coach, it's only going to play Christian kids, then you ought to get another coach. You ought to get another coach. You can't say that. Well, we know how stupid that is, right? We know how stupid. Okay, so Coach, what? I got a long way to go and a short way to get there, right? Hey, friends. You ready, Gino? I'm going to connect the dot here. If Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, can somebody explain to me how they can force me to pay taxes to murder babies? I want you to think. I want you to think. If my religion says I'm not paying for that, I'll have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. I'll have nothing to do with it. By the way, God-given constitutional right. Right there it is.
They can't, Coach. They can't.
They can't. Now, hang on. They can throw you in jail if you don't obey. Not legally. They don't care about that legally. Do you understand that religion has become a separate civil rights issue? And they've taken Jesus Christ and they barred him from government under this false interpretation of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law. Hey, Vinny. Hey, somebody else out there. Hey, Alan Zeifer. Hey, Beth. Hey, Betty. How fast can I drive on the road if it's unlimited speed? Somebody help me out.
No limit.
No limit. So Congress shall make no law respecting the speed limit on religion. Is that not what it says? There are no speed limits on religion or your freedom of speech. Now, hang on. You have to suffer the consequences of it. If I have free speech and I lie about somebody, well, I can't gripe them when they knock my teeth out. There's consequences to free speech. But you have the right to say it. And what they've done is they've criminalized Christianity through this. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Pull up number one. Because this is where a lot of our bad theology begins. people refer. I've had many, many emails over the years from pastors saying, "Coach Dave, we must obey the government. We must obey it, Coach Dave. We have to obey it." Pull up number three real quick. Let's go back to number three real quick. 12 biblical cases of civil disobedience. By the way, Jesus Christ disobeyed the government. Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Did Jesus stand before the Sanhedrin? And did he stand? By the way, who was it that crucified him? Why, it was the government. It was the government. Because why? They said, "We will have no king but Caesar." And you're talking about another king here, and we ain't going to have another king here. So when the founders put the country together, they said, government's not going to be able to do anything about religion. You worship whoever the heck you want to. It's biblical, friends. It's biblical. Here's 12 biblical cases of civil disobedience in the Bible. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Scroll on down. Scroll on down. All the way down. All the way down. Number one. The Hebrew midwives. You know what the Hebrew midwives did? They're going to kill every one of the babies. And they wrapped them up in little boats and sent them down the rivers. They disobeyed the government. The parents of Moses. Elijah. I'm not going to spend all the time on you. I'll put it in the chat. Mordecai. But Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage. Why do you transgress the king's command? And when they spoke to him after day, he would not listen to them. Mordecai gave King Ahasuerus the finger. Esther. In fact, Esther was told, "Have you been called into the kingdom for such a time as this?" Opposing wicked government. Jeremiah, same thing. Daniel's friends in the line. On and on. I'm not going to go down. If you don't know them, look at them later. Scroll on down. These are examples of civil disobedience. Daniel, they put him in the lion's den because he got down three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And they said, "I ain't going to be doing that. Ain't going to have any of that going on here." He said, "Go ahead, man. Throw me into those lions. I don't care." The wise men, being warned of a dream not to return to Herod, they departed their own country. Jesus and his disciples, Peter and John. The Bible is full, friends, the apostles. And when they had bought them, they set before them a council in the high priest, a courtroom, thank you. And the high priest questioned him, saying, "We strictly told you guys, stop preaching in his name. And yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Peter,
boom, coach.
Peter and the apostles answered, "Sorry, dude. We're going to obey God. We ain't going to obey you. Whatever it costs, it don't matter. We are not bowing our knee to the edicts of men." Paul and Silas, going down. I got to get somewhere. I'm in a hurry here this morning. Okay, cool. All right, put that in the chat. Put that in your chat. Can I give you some bad theology here real quickly? Let me give you some bad theology. Pull up number five, R.C. Sproul Jr. I always get nervous of pastors' kids. In other words, a pastor's son becomes a pastor because daddy was. Inherits the empire. R.C. Sproul Jr. It's one of my great passions. I'm not going to read all this either. It's one of my great passions, desire to see me and the evangelical church take evil of abortion more seriously. Blah, 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 blah. What we're generally unwilling to do is through any kind of hardship to stop abortion. Okay, listen, I'm not going to read all this. I'll put it in the chat. Here's what R.C. Sproul gets into as you get down there. We have to obey the government. We're good Christians. Even though murder is wrong, it would be violation of our oath to God if we broke the law to rescue babies. Hey, folks, does anybody out there think that's dumber than hell, other than me? What a stupid, stupid position that would be.
Boom.
So this is February 26th. 2024, a year ago, we have a very well-known pastor, if you would read down through this, still telling us, obey the government. The government says it's okay to murder unborn babies, and we don't want to oppose the government. Folks, hang on. I'm about done. I started this because, you know, the church yesterday, the government yesterday, let me see if I had it. The government yesterday said that churches can now endorse candidates. Well, folks, they've always been able to endorse candidates. What do you mean they now have the ability to? The IRS granted them the ability. The IRS granted them free speech. Do you see the facade here? The IRS is now granting the church free speech. Oh, thank you, Mr. Government. Oh, thank you, Mr. Government. Oh, I can now speak. The church, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, speaking through his church. We now have your approval. Oh, thank you, IRS. Are you picking up how ridiculous this is, folks? Hang on. I'm going to lay a couple more things out there. Then I'll let you all get in and we'll chew on it together. Romans 13. Pull that back up there, Spence. You had it up there once. This is what they hide behind. Let every soul be subject to the higher power. For there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Question number one. Who has all power and authority? God grants it. God grants power and authority. Huh? There's no power but of God. The powers that be, they're ordained of God. So whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So they want us to believe the Luciferians who got control of our government and some of the pastors standing in America's pulpits want us to believe that we would be resisting God if we fought against abortion because it's the law of the land. We're resisting God. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Question, is the American government a terror to good works or bad works? Are we supposed to obey a government that is a terror to good works? They threw Bill Dunphy in jail. And most of the American churches applauded. Oh, he deserved it. He shouldn't have been there. He should obey the government. Understand the mockery they've done to us? I'm not going to take time to go through Romans 13. You can do that on your own. I'm going to tell you something. For you to know to do good and you not to do it, to you it is sin. Here's where I'm kind of heading today. Should we right now be paying taxes to kill babies? Should we be paying taxes to kill babies? Should we be paying taxes to teach our children that it's okay to have homosex? Should we be paying taxes to do that? Why are our churches and our pastors telling us to do that? Hang on, going someplace else because either they're misinformed or uninformed. Hang on. So pull up number six because it's important for us to understand this. Number six. Romans 13, I don't have time to go through all that. Number six, pull it up. The IRS. I'm sorry, go to number seven for Spencer. The IRS. Thank you, government. Thank you, government. The government says that churches are exempt. And we clap our hands. In other words, churches don't have to pay taxes. Because why? Because the government said they don't have to. Oh, so the government has authority over the church? What if Jesus told me not to pay taxes to kill babies? Do I need the government's approval? Does the church need the government's approval? So exempt, when we hear that the churches are tax exempt, understand this, down to bottom. Free from any service, charge, burden, tax, duty, evil, or requisition to which others are subject not subject, not liable to. In other words, the government can say to the church, all right, you don't have to pay taxes, meaning the government is above the church. Does anybody see that to me? That the church has to go to the government and get their approval not to pay for killing babies. Got that? Well, there's a difference between being exempt and number six, the church is immune. By the way, somebody help me here. Are you the church? Am I the church? Or is the church just some 501c3 government-approved charity? Go back to the First Amendment, Spencer. Congress shall make no law. Regarding what? Establishment of a religion. I'm a Christian man, and I would love to give all my money to ministries, but I can't because the government's come and taken all my money before I got a chance to. Huh? You guys with me? You say, Coach, this sounds rebellious. Damn right it does. We fought a war over it. So go back to, I'm lost here. Immune. By the way, isn't that what did the COVID shot make you exempt or immune? What was it they told you? Were you exempt or immune? Because those aren't the same things. Immunity is freedom or exemption from obligation. Exemption from any charge. Hey, friends, listen. They don't have to grant you the right not to pay taxes. If you're a Christian, you're immune from it. That means you can't. Not only don't have to, you can't. You're immune. Immunity means not that you won't get the disease. That means you can't get the disease. And churches are tax immune. Now, wait a minute. Folks, this is really, really going someplace behind the scenes that we don't even understand right now. There's an entire shifting in the financial system in America. And much of this crap that we're dealing with right now is going to go away. It's going to go away. Tariffs. People are giving Trump all kinds of trouble over tariffs. Well, you know why Trump's doing this? Here's what I think. I mean, I'm not in his cabinet, but I think this whole IRS stuff's going away. It's all gone away. Can you guys believe that you have to go work 40 hours a week and then give what? 18%? They take their 18% right off the top. And you say, as a Christian man, First Amendment, the Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I don't want to give my money to the government. I don't want to give my money to the tax government. I want to give my money, tithe, they call that. I want to give my money to the advancement of the kingdom. I don't want to advance Washington, D.C. and the wickedness they're doing. I don't want to do that. But yet, what are the church? What's the fog? Dystopia over the American church. The American church thinks they need the government's approval to not fund wickedness. Oh man, I could go on and on and on. I'm going to give you a real quick website. Pull up number 8. Now look, I'm not going to talk about number 8. I'm going to jump in and I'm going to get Zai from these guys in here real quick. Pull up number 8 for me. This is a good website. You can go do some studying on. It's entitled, You Have the, what's that? You Have the Right? Is that the name of it? Put it in the chat. Huh? Hey, folks, do your rights come from government or from God? And until you settle that one, what's Romans 13 say? Our rights come from God, ultimately. That's what Romans 13 says. In fact, all my money goes to God, and when the government violates the laws of God, I got no obligation to give them a cent. That was Romans 1. Come on in, Alan.
Hey, Coach. just want to say, you know, the standards that the Christians are held to in America, the Muslims are not held to that standard, even though Islam's not even a religion. It's a political ideology. The LGBTQs, they're not held to any of these standards, and they're a pagan religion, whether they know it or not, even though they're all antichrist or all probably don't even believe in God, whatever, atheists, but they're still a religion. But those two religions or those two political ideologies are not held to the same standard that you and I are held to.
And that, isn't that something, Alan? What a great point that is. So you can go out and get a 501c3 charity and have nothing to do with religion. Nothing to do with Christianity, right?
Exactly. And if you're LGBTQ religion, you can go burn our flag. You can tell the president you're going to kill him. You can be a Muslim, say we're going to burn your building down, and they ain't going to do nothing to him. But let me or you go out there and say that, and we'll be under the jail, brother. We'll be under the jail. But the church is too asleep to see it. That proves the point that Islam and LGBTQ, both of them are driven by the spirit of Antichrist.
Oh, brother, huh? Oh, I love this. I love it. Thanks, Alan. Gino.
Yes, I just want to clarify something. When I was younger, they kept telling me about the higher authority. Who is the higher authority?
Who is God.
But they instilled in our minds that it was our government. No, the Constitution, it says we the people, not the government. And we the people have the authority. So if I believe something, they can't take me to court, but they do.
Gino, to obey God rather than man. Right?
Amen.
The government says, the fleshly government says, pay 18% of your taxes to us. And Gene says, I don't want to pay 18% of it because I'm funding abortion and transgender. I don't want to do that. See, folks, the church does not need the approval of the government to not pay taxes. They don't need the approval of the government. They're immune from taxes. Immune. We still don't get it. And you know why we're scared? You know why people are paying taxes? Because they don't want to go to jail. They don't want to go to jail. So you better understand, we all better understand this. This is the whole big thing going on with tariffs. I believe Trump and whoever's working with Trump, they're going to do away with income tax. See, sales tax is okay. I hate sales tax. But if I go buy a new car and there's a 7% tax on that car, I can say, screw it, I ain't buying it. I'm not buying it. But for them just to be able to come in and take 18% out of my paycheck, where do they get the authority to do that? Not only take 18% out of my paycheck, but use it to murder babies and teach atheism to children. How do they get away with that? See, we've fallen into this idea, government is above God. And the church is letting it happen. Now the fact that pastors can now endorse candidates, not all pastors are going to like that because it's going to flush them out. We're going to find out where they stand. And I think requirement number one, we ought to have every pastor in America stand in the pulpit and tell everybody who he's voting for and why. Then I'll decide whether we're on the same team. Kevin, come on in.
Newly assessed or appointed commissioner of the IRS, his name is Billy Long. He is the actual guy that I ran for Congress against in 2020. Wow. When Billy Long went into Congress back in 2010 with the Tea Party, his first two terms, he was all on board for abolishing the IRS. But by the time I ran against him, he went from a net worth of about $300,000 to a net worth of about $12.6 million. So, and if you do the math, that just don't math out. His APAC handlers had decided that it was time that he went along to get along. So, he may be still having of the mindset to abolish the IRS. So,
folks, anyway. Taxation is bondage. Taxation is bondage. And here's what's going. Here's what's going on. I think the IRS is going away. I think it is going away. And that's the whole idea of tariffs and all this kind of. See, it's a whole new retraining of the American people that we think we have a duty to pay our taxes. Friends, look, are you looking at me? We're $30 trillion in debt. They just print money and they use taxation as bondage on you. Huh? Come on now. Come on.
None of us realized that we were set for a life of indentured servitude.
We're indentured servants, and they're not even paying the bills with our money. They're printing the money to pay the bills. Mark Trump.
Where did the taxes come from? So in the beginning, let's ponder this a minute. Why did we adopt that here? You know, they wanted to build roads. Well, where did that start? Over in Rome. Right? The Roman Empire taxed the church to build roads. Mm. And they were called the Publicani, the Roman IRS.
Wow. Yep.
So the Roman government moved into the kingdoms of England, and the kings taxed everyone with tax collectors, and then the kings run all of us over here, and the kings came. And when the kings got here, they started taxing the churches. Okay, so this is biblical. This stuff allowing the government to tax us is what the Sadducees and Pharisees did to the Jewish people.
Amen, brother.
They had to pay tribute to the publicani of the Roman Empire like we're doing. We're still part of the Roman Empire paying taxes to the publicani. Now, if we don't do that, Coach, that's going to go hand in hand with the mark. So the minute the publicani goes away, there will be an automated way for them to take their money. Coach.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll all be digital. The only way the IRS can go away is if they digitally have access to your money. And the only way that can happen is if the dollar goes away. Okay. And it'll be digital. So I think that's where it's going in order to promote the Roman Empire further in America. Amen. Okay. Yeah. So that's where we're headed. So you either worship the Greek gods of old, Baal and all the evil, and be a part of the Roman Empire, or you come out of it, right? And you live a life outside the government, and the people in the government, worshiping the government, can fix it and do all those things. We and Jesus and all the people in the, you know, they tried to come out of the Roman government. Now, I don't see why we don't see our government as the Roman government of old, but we don't. We think it's something good.
And it's not. It's not. Hang on. I know you, you guys want to get in there, but I got to show you this before I forget it, okay? Pull up number, pull up four for me. Is that the one I want? No. Coach, which one do you want?
Yeah, I'll finish up while you're looking with the illustrations on the Capitol building. On the ceiling of all of our congressmen in the Capitol building is of the gods. That's a Roman building. It's the bulgy belly of Semiramis pregnant illegitimately with Baal. I mean, that is the representation of our capital code. I mean, it's just so blatant.
Amen. In Jesus' day, thank you, Spencer. I'll give you $5. In Jesus' day, Jews paid taxes both locally, the Jewish temple, the pagan government. Matthew records two separate instances depicting Jesus' view on paying taxes. The first sentence was recorded in Matthew, where the collectors of the temple tax asked Peter whether Jesus pays taxes. Jesus, knowing of this conversation, asks Peter, "Hey, Pete, what do you think? From whom do the kings of the earth..." Oh, that'd be Psalm 2, wouldn't it? "From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tribute? From their own children or from others?" And Peter says, "Well, from others." Jesus says, "Yeah, Sherlock. Then the children are free." Watch. "However, so that they don't crucify me just for not paying my taxes, I'm going to pay them. I came here to rescue the world. I'm not going to let them throw me in jail over taxes. But so we don't cause offense to them and give them a reason. Go down there, catch yourself a fish, take that fish, and go pay your taxes with it. Jesus didn't say he doesn't pay taxes. He said, I'm not going to fight that. I'm not going to get crucified over taxes. And the second incident concerning the Roman taxes found in Matthew 25. Here the Pharisees and Herodians want to entrap Jesus with the question, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? And Jesus knows the malice in their hearts. He understands they're trying to set him up. And he responds, why are you putting me to this test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin. They handed him a denarius. He said, hey, whose face is on this? And they said, the emperor's. He said, oh, okay, then if you think it belongs to him, give it to him. And if you think it belongs to God, give it to God. So the money that you have in your pocket right now, does it belong to Caesar or does it belong to God? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. But the church has convinced us that Jesus paid taxes when he very clearly says, we ain't going to give him any reason to crucify me over taxes. Go down there and get a
fish. He also mentioned freedom. The freedom comes by not obeying.
Amen.
Okay, that was skipped over in that discussion, right?
That's right. So when Martin Luther went and pounded the theses on the door, you know what he said? Here I stand, I can do no more. All I can do is personally object. I'm sorry if you guys don't get it. But my conscience compels me. I ain't doing it. Let him come and arrest me. I ain't doing it. Mary Beth.
I hereby declare and decree that we should all stop paying taxes and we should all be willing to be persecuted and even killed for Christ's sake, as the apostles were.
Amen. But Mary Beth, see, not everybody pays taxes. A lot of people are eating off of me. Governments are running off of me.
Amen.
Huh? It's more than just paying taxes. You got to stop that. Our daughter, they live atop the hill. They have a dog called Charlie. Charlie's about, they have to put Charlie down here soon. I just heard it a little bit ago. Charlie's barking at the door. Anybody know why Charlie's barking at the door? She walked down that hill. She can hardly make it. She walked down that hill. She knows if she gets in here, Gigi's going to give her a piece of meat. And Charlie keeps coming back to the trough. And we keep feeding my daughter's dog. Name my dog! Get out of here, Charlie! That's what our government's been doing to us. James Thomas, going in.
Yeah, boy, every morning something new. That's why I like this. Always like this. But there is no law in regard to personal income tax. I mean, there was an IRS agent that actually was going after somebody, and he said, hey, I'll pay your taxes if you show me the law. There is no law. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this IRS agent, he took the IRS to court and won. There is no law. It's a voluntary system. Imagine that, right?
As soon as you file, you have volunteered. Now you put yourself in jeopardy. They have to tell you, friends, hey, look, let me ask you something. If you're going to go to the grocery store and you're going to buy a bunch of groceries, when you check out, do you just pay them whatever? You pay them a tenth of your income? Or do you wait for them to tell you what you owe them? So if the IRS wants to bill you, they got to send you a bill. And we have, as James just said, self-compliance. Voluntary compliance, meaning what? You report yourself. And then they'll throw you in jail or penalize you if you're wrong. Well, hey, folks, we live in the internet age, right? We live in the internet age. These old means of doing things shouldn't be going on. 18, 28 income tax, 1828. We're still living under that IRS. Are you kidding me? Randy.
Coach, the question is, does God's words, the scripture, does it trump a government's law if it's not righteous?
That's a question. Okay. Yep.
So my point is this, Coach. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul's talking to, he's teaching the Ephesians who they are. He's teaching the Gentiles mainly there who they are. And it says, he says this to them. He says that at that time you were without Christ. Now listen to this. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, you guys were not covenant people. You were uncircumcised covenant people, but now in Christ, you have come into the commonwealth of Israel, okay? You know the word there, commonwealth, Coach? It's politia. Mm. We get our word politic from it. Okay, here's what it means. It means polity, citizenship, community, freedom. Polity means a politically organized unit, an organized structure of government for a state or church, a body politic. Coach, do you understand that that's what the Mayflower got off the Mayflower? They understood they were the Commonwealth of Israel, and that's why they said they set the body, a politic. They become a body politic, a government. They set up a government. We have to see that self-government at our in our homes first. And when you do that, Coach, you're the highest authority anywhere. But that's who we are in Christ, Coach. We have to get back to who we are in Christ, who the church is, or we're just going to keep limping along like a bunch of weaklings, you know. And that's why Alan said this is right. The church is asleep. Well, when you wake up and you understand who you are in Christ, you don't have to keep putting up with this system.
Very simple question for you all out there, folks. Does the government obey the church, or does the church obey the government? When you answer that question, you'll see who you serve. The church can say all they want to that they're serving the Lord. No, they are. They're serving the Lord with the approval of the government. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Lauren.
Good morning. I have some insight, so I don't know if I'm going to upset anybody or not, but here it goes. As I've studied that Matthew, part of Matthew in regards to Jesus telling the Sadducees and the Pharisees and Caesar and all those regarding the taxes, when Jesus had said that, give to Caesar what is due to Caesar, give to God what is due to God, right? Heaven is the Supreme Court. I mean, Jesus is called the commander in chief, right? So he let everybody know if they were listening. Jesus, when Jesus was giving him back that coin, Jesus is the currency of heaven. His blood is. So when he said to Caesar what is due to Caesar, because that way they couldn't trap him and give to
None
God
of it
what
belongs
is due to God.
Caesar. None of it belongs to
right.
Caesar. Go ahead.
But what I'm saying is he was the price. So he was letting them know who the price was. Give to God what is due to God, which means it's all due to God. It comes back to him. It's all his. And he is the currency of heaven, and he's the price tag. And he is what allowed us to be able to have this conversation and come together, whether we agree or disagree. He's the price that was paid. He went to the cross instead of us, not because of us.
He's the King of Kings. He's not under any government. And his authority and his word is the standard. And the church, American church, everywhere, we've let government put themselves above God. It's like you would say, well, those rules don't apply to me. Is that happening in Congress, by the way? Do the same rules apply to Congress that apply to you? No, because there's two governmental systems that are in conflict right in front of us, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Lucifer. It's the same thing. And the government people are serving Lucifer. And we have some Christians, but they're bowing to Lucifer. They're not standing up and pushing back. Teresa, come in.
Teresa, get on your horse. Come on in here. Jack. Somebody. Gene, somebody.
Yeah, that IRS agent was Joe Bannister, and they moved his trial to Treasure Island, the military base, so that civilian journalists couldn't get there without being specially selected. And if you look at the two-tiered monetary system, the Federal Reserve has the king's face on it, the United States currency, the people's money, silver, has Lady Liberty. So there is a difference. And as far as just stopping paying taxes, don't just do that, people. Be very careful. There are two different ways to do it. You can oppose it, you can confront it, and you may win, okay? But you can also, there's another method, and it is to become a non-person as far as their legal terms go. You can play with their little legal terms and be a non-person and not own anything.
What does the public schools teach our children about taxes?
It teaches them to be slaves.
You gotta pay them. You gotta pay them. You gotta pay them.
Absolutely. Which is indoctrination.
What's the church teaching people about taxes? Same thing, school.
Exactly the same thing. There's no difference.
Run. Roger, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, if you go back to the 13 colonies when they formed, every one of the charters they drew up for their governments stated in it that they were for the advancement of the Christian faith.
That's right.
So that, in other words, the church didn't run the government. The church was the moral conscience of the government, along with the scriptures, you know.
And in 1947, Everson versus the Board of Education, they said there was a separation between the church and the state, and the devil took over, and boom, here we are today. God-fearing people, truly God-fearing people, paying for abortions. You can make it up. Rochelle.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Yeah, well, this government structure, it's basically flipped God-approved structure and placed man over the supreme being, just like the devil tempted us in the garden. Now we're seeing things that the devil wants us to see so that we run from this obvious darkness into enlightenment, which has got a bunch of false truth in there. And most of us, the so-called church, is going to be marveling after the beast. Because what they're setting up, and I hate to say it, I just see it.
No,
what they're setting up is an extreme right-sided population who believes that it would be right to kill for their God. They're like you had said years ago, if the true church does not stand up, it's going to be the NASCAR crowd. And how do you get them riled up? By showing them what's been going on in government forever with what they do to our children, what they've done to our wallets, how they steal from us generationally. Don't even get me started at property taxes.
I'm short on time. Here's what I think. They already know it. They already know it. This is just confirmation of it. They already know this is going on. Most. Not to the degree, not to the depth. They already know this is going on. That's why I'm telling you, we're looking at a revolution right in front of us. Folks, it's going to happen. This is all going to be exposed. And then what the heck is going on from there? Got to run. See you tomorrow.